Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, at first service, I was mentioning to the choir that I felt really bad having my back to them. But I went through first service, and the choir is just like these loving angel wings that surround me, and I'm so grateful for them. Thank you for allowing me to have my back to you. It's awesome. It's just awesome. Thank you. Thank you. That's what I love about this place. It's so true. Well, good morning. I'm really, really thrilled to be here with you today. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about living our love. And I want to begin with a reminder of an old familiar truth, which is that you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And I'm the light of the world. We're all lights in our world. I recently came across a Facebook post, and it was an anonymous quote. And it reads, "It only takes one light to illuminate the darkness. Never underestimate the light you shine into the world." And I really loved that quote, and it really struck me because sometimes I think that we can forget that we're the light of the world. I think we forget that we're the light bearers, that we're here to know our love and to bring that love into everything that we do. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus tells us, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify the Father in heaven." And to me, what Jesus is basically saying is let others know God through you. You are the light of the world. Can you fully take that in? Do you feel worthy of that? Because you are. And you want to know why I know that you are? Because I know what you are. I know what we are. And it's the same in every one of us. Every single one of us, no exception. No one has any more God than anyone else, no matter what it looks like. One of the things that we say here with our kids all the time is, there's no spot where God is not. And it's so true. But sometimes when I look out into the world, and maybe when you look out into the world, it can appear that there are folks that maybe have forgotten who and what they are. They've forgotten that we're connected, that we're all one in God, that we're a part of each other. One, not two, not separate, one. So although no one has any more God than anyone else, I think it's fair to say that we are all at varying degrees of knowing that God within us. And for those that do know the God of their being, there's varying degrees of us listening to that voice
and following that guidance and listening to that presence to move us and guide us through life. So I mentioned Facebook a little earlier, and I love Facebook. I love all the family photos and family and friends, and I love the spiritual inspiration, and I really do like some news. But before I really learned that there were ways that you can control what you have to look at on Facebook, I felt myself being bombarded with so much fear and anger and division coming from all the political posts. And I think that no matter where you stand on the issues, it was true for all of us. And to be honest, both of those emotions, fear and anger, found a home in my mind for a while. And I let them have their way with me. I let my mind take me to every place that it feared. And I just let myself be with it. And at some point, that idea of it isn't what's happening that's causing my suffering, but what I'm telling myself about what's happening that's causing my suffering. And as that kind of rose up, there was another a familiar way of mastery teaching that came to the surface, which is, I don't know what anything is or what anything is for. In this vast, interconnected universe, I can't know, but God knows. And I can trust God, and I can trust that it's all for our greater awakening. My righteous fears for the planet and for humanity are still just fears. And I had to ask myself, can I lay those down too and really trust God in all things and in all people? So I want to make sure that you know that when we lay down those fears and we trust God, it doesn't mean that we're not going to do anything. Love is active. Love will move us. But we are moved to work for love instead of against hate. When we're working for something in love, our energy isn't split. It isn't divided. It's clear and it's precise. With love, truly all things are possible. So as I let myself be with this new level of trust, I really had to go in and change my settings on Facebook. I decided that I didn't have to see all of the things that were coming across my post. And I realized that with this new level of trust, I could trust God in me, I can trust God in you, I can trust God in all people and all things. So I went in and I made those adjustments, but it really dawned on me that what I was reacting to was how certain everyone was about their point of view. So certain, so rigid, so right. And it occurred to me that maybe the reason I was reacting to their certainty was that perhaps I had a little certainty going on of my own. So I found myself pulling out a poem that Judy Guadalupe, some of you may know Judy, a poem that Judy Guadalupe shared at one of her women's meetings a long time ago, and it's called Certainty. And it's by an Indian devotional poet named Tukaram. Certainty undermines one's power and turns happiness into a long shot. Certainty confines. Dears, there is nothing in your life that will not change, especially your ideas of God. Look what the insanity of righteous knowledge can do. Crusade and maim thousands in wanting to convert that which is gold, that which is already gold, into gold. Certainty can become an illness and create hate and greed. God once said to Tuka, "Even I am ever changing. I am ever beyond myself. What I may have once put my seal upon may no longer be the greatest truth. And I really love that poem, and I love the line, "Dears, there's nothing in your life that will not change, especially your ideas of God." It was Meister Eckhart who prayed the prayer, "Dear God, please remove from me all my ideas about you and allow me to experience you fully." Certainty undermines our ability to experience God fully. When we're certain, and you can feel it, we're closed, we're certain. We don't even want to hear what anybody else has to say because we've already made up our mind and we're right, right? That's usually how it goes. And when we do that, we cut ourselves off from those subtle messages of God, our intuition, which is pouring through us in every moment. When we're certain, can we even hear God informing us? Our certainty about God can limit us because our awareness of God is always growing, always expanding, always. That's what makes our spiritual life so fulfilling. We're always growing and expanding and becoming. Done it again. God is infinite. And our expanding into God never ends because God never ends. So our experience of that is always becoming, always getting fuller. When we're aware of certainty taking hold in our mind, it's an invitation to stop and to move into our hearts, taking a moment to be still. That holy moment to join head and heart and to experience God and feel God and listen. And what this kind of listening isn't just a listening with our ears. It's a listening with our entire being. And when we listen with every cell of our being, we're open to experience God. You are the light of the world, and God is informing you in every moment. And I want to remind all of us that we're made for these times. We chose to be here at this time. We're here on purpose. And we're here to love and to love well. These times are calling us inward to the only place that we can be truly fed, to the inner well where the still waters truly replenish our soul. We are being called into a deeper experience with the God of our being, with the Christ. And my prayer is that every person on the planet can know this truth that lies within them. It was Lao Tzu, the founder of Taoism, who said, "If you want to awaken all of humanity, then awaken all of yourself. If you want to eliminate the suffering of the world, then eliminate all that is dark and negative in yourself." Truly, the greatest gift you have to give is that of your own self-transformation. And I love that. Truly, the greatest gift that we have to give is that of our own self-transformation. And I think that we intuitively know this. That's why we come to places like Spiritual Life Center. I have talked to, I don't know how many people who've said, "I walked in those doors and I sat down and I knew I was home." Love is our natural state, and that's what we're drawn to. We're just like moths drawn to the flame, and we're drawn to those teachings and modalities that remind us and show us the love that we are and remove those blocks that prevent us from knowing what we are. I wanted to share with you a story that I came across when I was in ministerial school 17 years ago. And it's a story called Live Your Love. Imagine four army chaplains during an icy storm at sea. Four men in uniform holding hands as they gaze over the rail of their sinking ship. They are watching lifeboats pulling away from their reeling ship, the U.S. Transport Dorchester. The story of these chaplains is a remarkable account of love and sacrifice. The scene takes place February 3rd, 1943, off the tip of Greenland. The winter night covers the ship like a blanket. Most of the 909 men aboard are asleep below the decks. Suddenly, the Dorchester jerks and shudders. A German torpedo has smashed through her starboard side. In a raging torrent, the sea spurts through the gaping wound. The Dorchester has been dealt a mortal blow. She is sinking. An order is given to abandon ship. Aboard the dying vessel, men, many of them injured, search frantically for life jackets. Some stand in shock, not knowing how to react to the catastrophe. Amidst the chaos stand four pillars of strength, four Army chaplains, George L. Fox, Methodist, Alexander Good, Jewish, Clark V. Poling, Reformed, and John P. Washington, Roman Catholic. They calm the panic-stricken, help the confused search for life jackets, and aid the soldiers into lifeboats swinging out from the tilting deck. When no more life jackets can be found, each chaplain takes off his own and straps it to a soldier who has none. The lifeboats pull away slowly from the doomed vessel. Only 299 will finally survive this night. As the Dorchester slid beneath the icy water, some could see the four chaplains, hand in hand, praying to the God of them all. The chaplains' different theological opinions didn't seem to matter much on a sinking ship. All that mattered was that at a time of crisis, they lived their love. Yet even for us every day in lesser ways, I suspect that's all that matters. And I love that. All that mattered in a time of crisis is that they lived their love. And this is really settled in me. In a time of crisis, live your love. All that ever matters is that we live our love. And it's such a beautiful reminder. It's really a dramatic story. But, you know, it's one of those where the spiritual rubber meets the road kind of stories. We expect a chaplain's work to be the work of God. But remember, your work and my work are also the work of God. No matter what we do, it's the work of God. God loves the world through you and through me. Our lives, my life, and your life are where the spiritual rubber meets the road. So how do we live these principles that we believe? How do they show up in our day-to-day lives? A Course in Miracles reminds us that we're all ministers of God. There's a whole chapter about it. And we're here as ministers of God to minister to the human heart. We're being called to live our love. So now more than ever, in the midst of my messy and unpredictable life, I've made a commitment to love even more deeply and to be kind, to strive to understand and respect my brothers and sisters, even if I don't believe the same way they do, and to create peace with my words and my actions. I will stand for equality and fairness. I will walk softly on the earth, and I will live my love. And I invite you to join me in asking yourself every day, how can I live my love today, God? And typically, my experience is, we don't really have to go very far to find that, do we? It's right here. What's mine to love? It's right here. It's right here. We aren't here to fix the world. We're here to love the world. It was Jeff Foster who said, healing is not the fixing of the broken, but the rediscovery of the unbroken. The rediscovery of the unbroken, the constant, God. Your light, that's the rediscovery. So, really that finding the Christ within us is what I consider to be my passion. That's what I love. I love seeing people find and know the God of their being. It gives me joy and it brings me hope. In New Thought, the second coming of Christ isn't about the return of the man, Jesus. Instead, it's the coming forth of the Christ within us. It's the rediscovery, if you will, of the Christ within your own heart. You are the light of the world. Just breathe that in and feel that love moving through your entire being. You are the light of the world. And there's greatness in our tender hearts. And there's power in our tenderness. Can we soften with each other? Can we soften with those who we disagree with? Can we find ways to listen to that which makes our blood boil? Really listen? We may never agree, but it's amazing the understanding that we can gain about someone's fear when we really sit and listen. And I really believe that that's what's underneath our anger. It's fear, it's pain, it's grief. Can we live our love? Never underestimate the power of love. Loving will remind you of your wholeness that you already are, that has always been. You don't have to be perfect to be whole. You aren't here to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. We're here to love and to love well over and over and over again. And in loving well, our hearts will break and our hearts will soar. And we are present to meet all of it, knowing that it all passes. But that which meets it, that constant, that Christ within, that's always there and that's what meets it. God in you, the light of the world. So as we walk through these transformative times in our external world, I invite you to be the light that you already are, to live your love, to be an example of what love looks like. Let those who have no idea of God's love know it through you. And if you fail, just remember that nobody's perfect thing. Nobody's perfect, and we just move right back into loving. As Margaret Mead said, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. Don't doubt yourself. Live your love. Be the light. We've got this. Let's love recklessly. Thank you. Thank you.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center. Transforming.